Today on Real Radio.
It's the chemistry that washes over that child as it's forming in the womb, where God, by his genius creative plans and the factory of biology that he's made, washes this child over with chemicals based upon the decree of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up in this segment of the Worldview Series, Pastor Jack continues, "What is our sexuality?" by asking the question, "What is natural sexuality?" It's a volatile subject these days, but once again, Pastor Jack reminds us that the Bible is still the manual on sexuality, and without apology, God still declares himself as the final authority over creation, gender, and our conduct. Pastor Jack also stresses the fact that science supports God's law of nature, and therefore, we can't allow our emotions or even our culture to drive our thoughts towards any unnatural behavior. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Did you know that there are desert frogs that if they are put into a rainy, slimy environment, that in a matter of months, their thumbs on the male only, their thumbs turn into not a nail, but it is a calcium development that replaces the thumbs of the male frog, and it turns into a hook. And you say, oh, in fact, years ago, evolutionists would say, see the evolution? And then they've discovered electron microscopes and the such and the like, and found out that, guess what? In that frog, it is in the DNA of that frog that whenever to propagate the race of frog, the species of frog, if they're in a slimy environment, the male frog drops his thumbs and he grows a spur so he can mount the female to inseminate so that they can keep the species going. And it was hailed as evolution, and it was later found to be in the DNA of the animal, in the frog to begin with. Why? How? We have a brilliant God. And the Bible says these things will reproduce after their own species. Natural sexuality. God ordained. See, yeah, you're talking about frogs. I understand that. We're warming up here. Genesis 1:24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its species, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth, each according to its species. And it was so. Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and every creeping thing on the earth according to its kind or species. God saw that it was good. Genesis 6:19. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and God and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Circle that. Is that important? Oh, come on, you guys. Why is it important? If Noah, imagine this. Noah, God's telling Noah, get two of each male, female, of the same species, bring them on in. Why is that important? If you were going to launch your spaceship to some planet, and you were NASA, and you're going to do a bunch of lab research and stuff like that, guess what you would do? You would do exactly what Noah's doing. Did you know that? You would take lab experiments with you before you climbed into the spaceship. We used to do that when we had a space program. We would always do that stuff. Well, Noah is putting two of every kind, male, female. He's going to get in his boat, and he's going to go into a new world. And God says to propagate that new world, you're going to need a male and a female. 35-year-old people in this room are listening right now. Listen to that. When I made the statement earlier that we're going to be looking tonight at natural sexuality, people get upset with that. People don't want to hear this. I'm going to tell you the stuff that I hear. Pastor, that's pretty inflammatory You're going to talk next week on natural sexuality. Why is that inflammatory? How is that inflammatory? It's scientific. You see, your emotions get involved and want to override science, and your emotions get involved and want to override Bible. God says, Noah, if we're going to have the species of all that I've created propagate into a new world after the flood, you got to have a male and a female. Or what? It ceases to exist, right? You can scream and foam at the mouth all you want. You're not going to change the scientific fact of it all. When males and females get together, they have little versions of what they are. No matter what. And you need to remember that. Positive, direct, mental, listen, emotional influences set what is natural. Let me say it again. As we now segue into the human side of all this for us, listen. What you are by God's appointment, naturally, are you a male or are you a female? Whatever you are, in our existence as humans, it is absolutely essential that you be set or strengthened, encouraged in your gender. Example, you'll hear a lot about this before we end. If you have a little boy, what you do is you find, if you don't know what little boys are interested in, read a book, find out, go look at other little boys. By the way, just go to the park and watch little boys play. Church, are little boys different than little girls? If you tonight say, well, I'm not really sure about that, then clearly you've never had a child. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm always amazed, though, at how many experts there are that have never had kids on child rearing. It's amazing to me. But when you watch a little boy, everything about that little boy is completely different than the female. However, because they come from the same God who made them, for example, put two eyes in the front of the face. He put two ears on the sides of the head. God's design evidence is on both male and female. Everybody can say amen to that. I mean, that's normal. Even in a male, no matter how young or how old, a female, no matter how young or how old, isn't it true that every male has a level of estrogen in the male, huh? You say, no, did you mean to say testosterone? Yes, that too. The male and the female have varying levels of each of those and a lot of other things as well. That washes over that child as it's forming in the womb, where God, by his genius creative plans and the factory of biology that he's made, washes this child over with chemicals based upon the decree of God. It's chemistry, it's biology. It is a miracle. And as that happens, the child in the womb is determined male or female. This is called life. This is called biology. This is called chemistry. This is called science. And this is called theology. If I get excited, if I start yelling and I get excited about this stuff, it's because I love this kind of stuff. Because my God is amazing. But listen, I understand the hurdle tonight that I have to leap over, and that is emotions that will arise. When a child is born, it is incumbent upon the parent to infuse into that child the mental and the emotional upbringing of that child. In other words, a little boy, you encourage to be a little boy. A little girl, you encourage to be a little girl. I want to tell you something of a real story that maybe it paints a picture here. I'll just read it to you. I took the time to write it down because I lived this. Some years ago, I met with a couple who were having marital problems, and so they came into my office for a counseling session, but this was not it was not going to be a normal counseling session. The husband lamented the fact that he was working 14 hours a day, traveling to 4 Western states on a regular basis, to earn enough money to maintain their inflated lifestyle and to keep his wife enjoying a $2,000 a month allowance. Because of dad's absence, mom spent almost all of her time with her 4-year-old son. One day, Dad came home to find his boy wearing Mommy's clothes and putting on Mommy's makeup. She thought it was cute and funny and encouraged him to do so and defended the actions. The little boy liked the attention and the approval of, listen, his mother and his mother's friends. The end turned out even worse for the boy than what can be imagined. The mom and the dad could not reconcile. Divorce ensued, and the court awarded the little boy to the mother. This is a common story. The little boy, 4 years old, is acting out girly things. And maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe four times, it's cute and it's funny. But church, listen, this is pure practical stuff, scientifically accurate and biblically true. A parent who cares and understands, especially a parent who's a Christian who knows the Word of God, it is normal for a child to do that at that age. It's normal. It's not abnormal. Little girls will put on their daddy's work gloves and walk around and try to talk like him. And she'll put on his work gloves and walk around and try to be like daddy. That's normal. But when that goes on for a month and 3 months and 6 months and a year, and the parent encourages it, and then winds up putting the child on the stool next to her and putting makeup on the child to help him. Do you not know that God has designed us to receive input that sets our gender? We are born with certain physiological parts. If you're born a male, you are a male, but the emotional, mental side of that child is a blank slate. That's what mommy and daddies are for. To instruct the child, train the child, steer the child. Our generation has gone down the tubes because there's no parents. They're too busy making money. They're too busy leaving the kids somewhere. And now we're paying the price. And this is true in almost every area of statistics that you can look at regarding the family, including natural and unnatural sexuality. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The word train up in Hebrew means to make narrow. To make narrow the way that he should go. God says you need to train your child in the direction that is narrow in the way that he should go. The word also means well-defined. That means you tell your little boy he's a little boy. You tell your little girl that she's a little girl. It means to initiate a course. It means to dedicate or encourage a path or a journey. Is not God brilliant? And in the way, the word Hebrew. One word for that three English words. In the way is one Hebrew word, and it means this. A well-worn road. It means a often trodden path. It means a mode of life or an action, a conversation, a custom. Listen, a manner. It's a groove that a wheel that goes down a road in. That, you know how a wheel puts a groove in the trail? God says that's the way it ought to be. Parents need to put their child on a path that is a well-worn, repeated instruction over and over again. And my friends, your kids are being told in the public school system that they don't have to decide what gender they are, that they can experiment and feel that out and figure that out later. Exact opposite of what the Bible says. Children need more than a mom. They need a dad too. And kids need more than a dad. They've got to have the influence of a mom. And many homes, according to what, a recent poll, 50, 51% of American homes are broken up and there's no dad or there's no mom. And if that's you tonight, then you need to find a trusted woman or man that can come and be a role model regarding that gender influence that your child is lacking. This is a serious issue. I don't mean to be funny. I don't know how else to say it. Little girls need to learn how to be dainty and all that stuff. And you're going to say, what a chauvinistic pig you are. I guess I am then. Because you know what? Little boys need to learn how that to roll in the mud and get dirty. And that if they get paint splashed in their face, they're not going to die. And you know what? I'm sorry, but little girls ought to be treated like a little princess. And little boys, listen, it is intuitive within a little boy to be a warrior. I tell you what right now, if we had dolls and if we had shields and bucklers, and I tell you right now, you can turn 500 kids loose in this place, and boys will run to that armor, and girls will start mothering those little dolls, unless they have been led in an unnatural direction. The Bible says, listen, and some of you might need to hear this. As a nation, we've lost the ability to reason with ourselves. When temptation comes, listen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. You know what that word is? That is a word to imagination. Every human being is tempted by Satan and by the flesh. What do you do when you have a thought that is not right? The Bible says, take it under the captivity of Jesus Christ. Did you have a homosexual thought? Take it under the captivity of Jesus Christ. Did you have a violent thought? Take it under the captivity of Christ. Do we just, if we think it, is it okay? No, if we think it, we judge it in light of God's word. If you have a thought come in your mind, you judge it according to God's word. You may be sitting out there and you're thinking thoughts like, man, that horrible thought just entered my mind. Oh my gosh, what do you do with it? Do you act it out? Or do you resist it according to what God's word says? We've lost this. And our kids need to learn this. James says in the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say that when he is tempted by God. For God cannot tempt or be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Young people today, when a thought enters your mind, or when a teacher or a class puts a thought into your head that you may be gay, or you may be transgender this or that, or you might be thus and so, you need to resist that. You just don't go say, oh, I guess so, my teacher said so. I stand here as a pastor and I tell you, don't believe what I say, but look at it against the Bible. Wouldn't it be amazing if our educational system said, don't believe a word I say, judge it against the hardcore natural laws of science? Amen. Oh no, you're not going to hear that. Listen, there are aberrant things that manifest in the world regarding sexuality, but they're extremely rare, and they are abnormal because you and I live in a fallen world. I'm not talking about those things tonight. The next thing I want you to look at tonight, very quickly, I'm running out of time. I can't believe how late it is. Second thing is this. It's an appointed female sexuality. God has made the female. He said, I have made the female, says God. And I don't have to ask you, but I will. Are girls different than boys? Yes. My goodness, and that's a great thing. Moms and dads need to take seriously their parental mission as parents and step up and encourage their daughters powerfully. Parents need to make sure that their daughter's identity is wrapped up in womanhood. They need to be challenged, encouraged, assisted, led in the areas of their beauty. Girls naturally want to take care of their hair. Guys, boys naturally want to put their head in the dirt. Or it's funny. Young ladies tend to be feminine, of course. We want to direct them in the area of being a godly woman. Someone will say, well, what about tomboys? Girls that are tomboys, what about them? A lot of young people today are experiencing tomboys and saying, this girl must be a lesbian in the making. No. To be a tomboy is to most often, not always, but most often to have been brought up in a very heavily dominant male world. You may have had brothers, and the girl had to learn how to give a left jab or a right punch to get that last hot dog off the table or whatever it was. But that has nothing to do with gender confusion. Not at all. But our generation is so panicky right now regarding sexual gender identity that we've lost touch. We've gone, I think, out of our minds. Female sexuality has been engineered by God, and science confirms it. The way girls act are moments and are actions that prepare them to be a woman. Women girls in relationships, they are more emotionally based and friendship based in their relationships from the youngest age. Girls are funny. Girls, even in the most competitive situation, girls will be playing each other, for example, in tennis, and they'll be beating each other to death on the tennis court. And I know this for a fact because there's some famous tennis players who have said this is what they do. I can't remember what her name. Martina Navratilova. Yes, that one. She talks about how her and her famous opponent, I can't think of her name, they would slaughter each other on the tennis court, and then afterwards, they would send each other flowers and greeting cards and congratulate one another's great play and great work. Why? Because they were women. Do you understand that? Do you understand if two men on the tennis court, the whole chemical experience is different. And this is a scientific fact. Did you know that the levels of testosterone in a male that is involved in sports, violence, warfare, I'm not kidding. The data indicates attorneys. It said attorneys. Anything that is mentally or physically combative, those men, their testosterone levels are higher than average men. Did you know that blue-collar workers have a higher level of testosterone in their blood, in their system, than white-collar workers? Is that interesting? It's amazing. What does all that mean? It means God knows what he's doing. And so we'll end with this. I pray that we would not be rattled too deep to the core, because the cross and the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus is able to set us all free. And Lord, we pray for our culture, for our generation. We know prophetically that the world is going to be like it was, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, given over to bizarre, lewd, sexual depravity. But you told us to love one another, to be parents, to love our kids, and to train them in the way that they should go. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we would pick up our kids or our grandkids and kiss them, hug them, squeeze them, wrestle with them, play with them, shoot hoops with them, get them in the water, climb the hilltop, climb the tree, look at the bugs, chase the dogs. And Lord, that we would give up this pursuit of having one more car or a bigger house or a shiny ring at the expense of losing a child. Heavenly Father, God, we pray that you'd use this bizarre age in which we live in to magnify your presence in the lives of all those who'd call upon Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Natural Sexuality? A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of folks subscribe to the Real Life Devotions, and a lot of folks are writing in telling Pastor Jack just how much of a difference the Real Life Devotions has made in their lives. Here's one. Pastor Jack, thank you for your servanthood and for speaking the truth. The devotions this morning touched my heart. Having spent the last 30 years with a spine injury from two head-on car accidents within 2 years, I don't think I would have braved these storms if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and His Word. Thank you for the reminder of needing to continually surrender to His righteousness and to trust Him. That comes from Daria in Arizona. Daria, thank you so much for the letter. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to get the devotions, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get the devotions downloaded to your email inbox on Monday and use it throughout the rest of the week. And then if you get a chance, get a hold of us at the contact tab and tell Pastor Jack just how much the devotions mean to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.